father's plea. Jesus, I am ready.
Praise God. My name is Becky Fisher. I'm with Tash Ministries International, and with me in the studio today is Michael Ott, who's also with TMI, and Michael Watson, who is the Missions Director for Tash Ministries International. Welcome to the studio today, guys. How you doing?
Good, Becky. We're glad to be here with you.
Good.
Yes, we are.
All right. That was Michael Ott, the last voice. The first voice was Michael Watson. Michael, let's hear you again. Tell us a little bit more about what we're doing in the studio today.
Well, Becky, if they're listening to this tape, that means that they have been accepted to go on a short-term mission trip with Tash Ministries International. We are very excited that they've taken the opportunity to dedicate a portion of their lives to fulfill the call of God that is on their life. And we are just excited that they've made that decision. They have this tape. They have this manual. They're ready to start an adventure for the next 2 or 3 months, whatever it is that they're training. They're ready to start an adventure with God and go on this mission trip. So if they've got this tape and they have this manual, then that means they've been accepted and they're ready to go.
Praise God. Well, I know I'm excited. Every one of us take missions trips. Both the Michaels and myself take missions trips. And so you may see one of us on the mission trip that you're going on. You may see two of us. You may see all of us and other members of the TMI team. But we are excited about what God is doing with boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads.
Yes.
On missions trips. It's very exciting. What we're going to do on this particular tape is to explain to you how do we get started with the manual that you have in your hand. We're going to be covering a lot of important information, a lot of details that could be considered boring, but they're very, very important. And so we want you to promise us you won't go to sleep, sit up straight, and listen carefully. We're going to cover some practical information about how to start preparing right away, because we know you're excited, we know you're full of questions, and hopefully this tape is going to cover a lot of those questions. Now, what you have is you've got this cassette tape, but you also have a manual in your hand, hopefully. And let me ask you, Mike Watson, which is more important, the tape or the manual? Can they just pitch the manual to the side and listen to the tape, or can they just like throw this tape away and just go through the manual?
No, they can't do either, Becky. They're going to need both of these. They work simultaneously hand in hand. Inside the tape will tell you how to use your manual, but the manual is full of loaded with all the information you need, how your Bible study reading, your prayer partner, your scripture memorization. It is full of everything. I encourage them to get this manual. If you haven't done this already, you need to personalize it. Get your name on it. Make sure you don't lose this. This needs to be with your Bible at all times. It'll become, for the next 2 months, 2.5, 3 months during your training and on the mission field, this will become your second Bible. You have information in here that you need to know, and we're going to go over in this tape.
Okay. And we do want them to know how to get started, and that's why with this manual, this tape will show you how, or tell you how to get started with the manual. Now, we are going to have some future meeting tapes, though. Those will also contain some practical information, and that's really what's on this tape today, is some real practical guidelines and information of what you need to get started. But we'll also be dealing with some spiritual issues from times to come. We'll be hearing from all three of us. And we also, if you're working in a group, you're going to need to take some time for what now? If they're meeting as a group, say there's a whole church that's coming, Michael Ott, can you tell us if there's a group of boys and girls that, say, is coming from Ohio or something, they're coming together, they're having monthly meetings or whatever, weekly meetings to get ready for this trip, how should they be dealing with the manual?
Well, Becky, it's very important that they're going to bring their manual to every meeting that they have, because inside that manual, there are reading assignments that are necessary, 5-6 pages of a reading assignment of the place that you're going to be going to with very important information. You're going to be quizzed on that information.
Right there in the meetings.
In the meetings. You're going to have a quiz on the information about the country you're going to attend. Not only that, the memory scripture verses. You're going to want to have those verses handy. You're going to be quizzed on those as well. You see, there's 15 memory verses in this manual. all dealing with the anointing and missions and preparing you and your spirit, man, to go out on the field and let things happen by the Spirit of God. So you got to be ready and filled up with the Word of God. There's going to be, depending on what country you're going to, there may be some languages, phrases that you would need to know, as well as music and things. And so you're going to be bringing this to the meeting. You're going to be quizzed on it, tested on it. And so you need to have this information with you at all times.
Okay, Michael Watson, can you tell us, what about the boys and girls that are, they're not coming with a group, but they're in fact studying this by themselves at home? How should they deal with things like quizzing and worksheets and memorization and all? Who do they need to bounce this off of?
Well, first off, we're going to ask that you get with mom and dad. If you should be sitting down listening to this tape with your mom and dad, because the information that we're going to be covering is also very informative for them to know. And we're going to have you be accountable first to mom and dad. Mom and dad, we ask that you quiz them, that you're not tough on them, that you're not, that you don't just let them slide by, because we won't do that on the mission field.
No.
As a matter of fact, you may be getting phone calls from Becky, from Michaelot, from myself, asking you to quote these things, the memorizations. How are you doing? How's your reading assignment? We may ask you pointed questions. And if we haven't seen you between now and the time you go on the mission trip, well, as soon as we see you in the airport, don't be surprised if we don't come up to you and say, quote, word perfect, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Quote, you know, your how-to witness hand, and you're going to learn all these in your manual. And you'll have to learn and know those. If you do not know those before you go, you won't be able to do them on the field.
You know, Michael, it's very important. Outside of being on the mission field and ministering itself, these next 3 months are going to be the most important thing that you're going to be doing. This memorization and all these things that are very, very key, it's got to be inside of you. There's no time for you to get out on the mission field and be there with your manual and figure out what to say and what to do in a given situation. You've got to know it. It's got to be in your heart. So take this training extremely seriously and get this stuff inside you.
Let me ask you a question about these meetings. Now, for those that are meeting as a group, Mike Watson, maybe you can address this issue. How long do the team leaders need to be setting aside, and how often should they meet and that kind of thing?
If you're meeting as a group and you've got either one or two coming from your area or church, or you have your entire children's church coming or a good portion of your children's church coming, you should be meeting probably at least once a week or every other week just to keep up. And the meetings will be about between an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours long. You're going to want to make time for prayer, for the quizzing, leave time for worksheets, memorization. And you can break these up. If you cannot do meetings that may be 2 hours long, maybe you can have 2 one-hour meetings. Make one a spiritual side, make one a practical side.
Okay. Michaelot, let me ask you, how easy would it be if someone just kind of looked at this and thought, I'm going to do this later? Can they cram this information into the last couple weeks?
No, there's no way to cram this in. And boys and girls, you even know what it's like. You study for a test at the last minute, and you find out it doesn't come out the way you want to when you take that test. The information's not there. You can't cram. This is going to be a daily thing as you're working in the memorization, learning all these different things. This is not something you're going to pick up the beginning of the week, let it slide for 4 or 5 days, and then pick it up right before the meeting. You got to be in this thing every day.
This is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're doing, the next 3 months that you're going to be going through this manual, going over the next meeting tapes, preparing for your trip, is a lifestyle that they actually become, Becky. With these boys and girls, this will change your life. You're thinking of prayer. You're thinking of ministry. You're going to receive maybe even a further fine-tuning of your calling, of your destiny that is on the boys and girls' life.
That's right.
And this is why it has to become a lifestyle. You're not just going to poof, automatically become this superhuman hero person when you're on the mission field. It's not inside of you. And that's why this manual, the practical side of it, the reading assignments, everything that we're going to go over, and the spiritual side of it is very important to have down inside.
So what you're saying is, if you want to make this a lifestyle for everybody, is that you don't want them to be quitting reading their Bible, quitting praying when they're done with the mission trip. This is, in fact, a lifestyle, and you are trying to help prepare them for life.
Exactly. Every day is a mission trip. Even though you may not be going to Mexico or going to an Indian reservation or going to Africa, every day in your school, every day in your neighborhood, around your family, there are people who need Jesus. So this missions training you're going through is not, oh yeah, I went through the mission training, we went through 3 months of that, but it's something that continues on in your church. You may have an evangelistic program in your own children's church or in your own church that you can be a part of.
Now, we've told them what we're doing here today, gentlemen. We are going to give them some practical information on how to get started in the manual so they can start preparing for the missions trip. Before we go any further, Michael Watson, as our missions director, would you please open in prayer?
Yes. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak and impart into the lives of boys and girls, moms and dads, pastors throughout this nation, throughout the world, Father God, that are listening. Father, as you're preparing us, as you're knitting together the teams that are going out to visit the remote places, to go into the jungles, to go into the people that are lost, that are dying, that are hurting, Father God, I thank you that you are putting together a team of boys and girls,
a team of
moms and dads, a team of teachers and pastors, evangelists, Father God, apostles, prophets, Lord, that you are bringing us together as one.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for your anointing. Lord, as every boy, every girl opens this manual, mom and dad opens this manual, Lord, that they would just get an excitement to dig into your word, Father God. Lord, that it would become alive to them in such a new and a real way, Father God. We just thank you that your anointing would flow into every classroom, into every home right now in Jesus' name, and that your power and glory would be present, Father God. We dedicate this time of training, this time of being taught, Father God, what you want us to do, to how to use our equipment, Father God. We will be well able, we will be well equipped to go and do the work of the ministry, Father God, and we dedicate this time. We dedicate this training period, Father God, for you to work us, to mold us, to shape us, Father God. We can do what Jesus did. We will do what Jesus did. I thank you, Father God, that we are anointed, that we are appointed, and that we are called, Father God. And as we fulfill those scriptures, as we live up to those scriptures, as we do those, that you will enable us, you will equip us, and your anointing will be with us. We thank you, Father God, for this wonderful opportunity. To every person that is listening, we thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, I am ready. You can send me. You can send me. Bursting forth to the nations. It's time to take a stand. Bursting forth to the nations. Taking back the land, bursting forth to the nations with the message of God's love. Bursting forth to the nations with signs and wonders flowing from above. The time has come for me to answer. Can you hear the Father's plea? Jesus, I am ready.
Well, let's get started with the rest of our meeting here. We want you to take the manual right now and open it up to the very first page. The very, very first page is a table of contents. How exciting, boys and girls. We do need to look through this because we need to tell you how your manual is broken down and where you can look to follow along with us as we go through this information. This is only going to cover what it takes to get you started on this tape, but we want to look at the table of contents so that you can basically see the whole picture. We're not going to cover everything in the manual today. We're only going to cover certain items. But if you'll look at the table of contents, you can see that it is broken down into six categories. Now, those six categories are in this order. It's number one is a call to missions. Number two, the important papers that you need. Number three is financial information. And number four is the study requirements. Five is the practical information about the trip. And number six is ministry training. So now let's start with some important papers. Now, who wants to help us do a little bit more on the passport? If you'll open up to the important papers section and turn to the page on passports. We need to discuss, first of all, are they going to need a passport for this trip?
You will not need a passport unless you're going out of the country. And only then is one exception is Mexico. When we're traveling into Mexico and Canada, you will either need a passport or you will need a legal notarized birth certificate. We'll let you go with either one of those. If you do plan on going out of the country or if you plan on taking more short-term mission trips, I do suggest that you get yourself a passport. For children, they're good for 5 years. For adults, they're good for 10 years.
Okay. But if they're going to an Indian reservation, which we take at least one trip to an Indian reservation a year, they don't need a passport. Obviously, it's still in the good old USA.
It's in the good old USA.
Okay. Well, where are they going to get the forms for the passport?
There's two places you can usually get a form. If you don't live in a big town, you can sometimes go down to the U.S. Post Office, or if you go into the blue pages of your phone book under the government pages, you can find a U.S. Passport Agency office sometimes.
Okay.
And you can go right down there, ask them for the necessary forms. You will have a couple pieces of paper that you'll need to fill out. Some of the things that you'll need to bring with you in order to get your passport. Go get the forms. You also need to go get some photos. Now, these are standard passport photos that you can get either at a Kinko's or a photo supply, a photo place, a photography studio. They should range anywhere between $9 and $12 a picture, and that'll get you two pictures. Actually, they'll get two pictures of your headshot. And those are a standard size. You cannot just take a snapshot and send it into the photo to the passport photo agency. They'll reject it and send it back. They have to be a certain size, and there is a legal way of doing that. Just go down to a Kinko's, a quick copy shop, or a photography
Walmart,
studio.
Walmart, Sears, any of those places will.
Very good.
If
yes.
They have a Photoshop in their place. Okay. What about the costs and the waiting period?
Well, the cost on the passports, they'll vary. For an adult, it's usually right around the $64 price range, and you have to write that out with two checks. They're very particular depending on the city or the county that you're coming from. You'll write one out to your court clerk, which is for legal or processing the paperwork, and you'll write another one out to the U.S. passport authorities or U.S. passport agents. So the adult passport is $64. The children's passport is right around $50, $55. I'm not exactly sure on that. Again, the adult passport is good for 10 years. The child's passport is good for 5 years.
Okay, and how long is it going to take them to get that passport?
The waiting period is usually 6 to 8 weeks. So depending on when you're getting this tape or when you're applying, you need to sometimes get down there on the phone tomorrow, get the paperwork, get it filled out. If you're very, very tight on your time, you can expedite this by paying some overnight charges. You can have the application overnighted with an urgency button on it, and then you pay to have your passport overnighted back to you. That does cost a little bit extra, but that can be done.
Okay, Michael Ott, is this cost covered in the TMI package for the trip?
No, it's not. This is an additional cost that you will need to provide in order to get your passport.
Okay, can you tell me something else now about the passport once they get one and they start traveling overseas? How important is that piece of paper to them?
That piece of paper is very important. In fact, you won't be able to get in the country without one. And if you're in the country and you lose it, you won't be able to get out of the country. You've got to have it.
So a man without a passport is a man without a country.
You got it.
What are the legal ramifications if you lose that and you're in another country?
Well, you lose it, and if you're in another country, you're stuck. You won't be able to leave. In fact, I've been on a trip before where we had an adult misplace their passport. And it was pretty serious. We were going to leave in a couple days. We were in Albania, of all places.
Communistic, no less, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, even though, and we don't want you to get upset or afraid about it, but if one's lost, there are steps that we can take to make sure that, you know, we can get things taken care of. You can go to the U.S. Embassy, where there's some things that they may be able to help you with, etc. But a lot of the times, especially with the boys and girls, we'll collect those passports. And we'll keep them with one of our adult leaders, if not one of us here in this studio. We will actually carry those passports with us at all times, so you don't have to be worried about losing your passport. We've never lost them. We'll keep them in a real safe place. And when it's necessary to pull them out, like if you're going through customs and things of that nature, you know, we'll pull them out. We'll hand them to you as you go through the line. They'll stamp them, and then we'll collect them, and we'll put them back in that safe place again.
Okay, because it is important to keep it with you at all times when you're overseas, right?
That is correct.
Like, you don't want to pack it in your suitcase and send it on to the country that you're going to. You better have it on your person, correct?
That is correct. Okay. And we'll even mention that those kind of procedures as we're in the airport before we take off and what things they need to have easily accessible, as well as other things that need to be packed away.
Did you have anything to add to that, Mike Watson?
As soon as you get your passport, you need to sign the passport, and you need to make copies of that passport. Two of them need to be sent to us, so we have the important information, the passport numbers that we can put on your airline tickets, different things like that, and that way we hang on to a copy. If a passport would get lost, we have that copy to prove that you do have a passport, and then we go down to the embassy and make sure you get another one issued.
Something else that's very important, you need to make sure, and many times these days our family names are changing quite often, and so it's very important that the name that is on your passport is the same name that is going to be on your airline ticket if we are going to be flying to a country. It's got to have the same last names. There again, we had another situation where we had a passport with one last name, and then we had a plane ticket that had another last name, and it was the same person. So it took us another 30, 40 minutes to get through this process to prove that this is all one and the same person. Very important that whatever name is on your passport is the name that you give us for when we purchase airline tickets.
Okay, that's good. Anything else, Mike Watson?
Start the process immediately.
Okay, yep, they don't want to wait. All right, now, when we're starting to travel in other countries, if you'll flip the page in your little book there, in your manual, you'll see that it deals with the subject of shots. Now, sometimes you need shots and sometimes you don't when you get into another country. How can you tell us, who wants to help us here get started on this topic? When are you going to need a shot and when are you not going to need a shot?
Well, first off, Becky, shots will depend on each country that we're going to. Every time before we go into a country, Tash Ministries takes a short-term trip, we will inquire from the health departments, from the different state departments to find out what is required and or needed to get into that country. One of the things that we require at Tash Ministries International is that you are completely up to date on your immunizations, children and adults. Just like the school is requiring that, we require that same thing. You need to be up to date on your immunization. If you're not, you need to bring your child up to date. Some other things that we can suggest and recommend are tetanus shots. If you haven't had a tetanus shot and you're going down into Mexico or into Guatemala, and we're going into the dumps and into the jungles where you could be cut by a piece of metal that might have rust on it, have your tetanus shot. That's a fairly easy one. Another shot that we can recommend that is almost in every country is just it's called immunoglobulin, which is a booster. It's a booster shot for your hepatitis, and you may want to go get those. You can also check to get these shots at your health departments, your local health departments, and there is also some places such as PicMed or different places that specialize in shots for overseas or out of the country. We at Tash Ministries International, if there is something that is actually needed on the trip, you will be notified in your manual. You'll have an important piece of paper that you'll have to fill out and show proof that you've gotten those shots before you can go on the trip. So it will be in the manual.
Okay, so if it's not in the manual, they don't need to worry about it.
They don't need to worry about it. They can take all their necessary precautions that they like, such as their immunizations, tetanus, and the basics. But if it's something that is required, we will let you know.
And are the cost of these shots covered in the travel package with Tash Ministries International?
Would you like me to answer that question,
I would
Becky?
Like for you to answer that.
No is the answer to that question.
Okay. This is on their own. All right. Let's move right along. The next page, quickly, moving to the guardian permission slip. We do not want to be accused of kidnapping children overseas. We have to have some paperwork. So, Michael Ott, why don't you address this issue on this particular form?
You know, it is very important because we don't want to leave any loopholes for the enemy. There's nothing like going and crossing a border, and I've had myself question, are these children yours? And I've had to prove documents and show documents, well, they're not mine, but they are under my care. Here are some papers that show parental permission, that their care has been passed on to me for this period of time. And so we don't want to leave any loopholes for the enemy to cause any problems because, you know, we're going to go change the spiritual climate of a place and of people's lives, and the enemy will try to find anything he can to stop us. So these parent permission forms must be filled out correctly and in detail so that there's nothing that's going to hold us back.
All right, let's move on then to the next page, which is the medical release form. This is an emergency medical treatment form, and Mike Watson, why don't you address this one? Because this is special. This one has to be notarized.
Yes, it has to be notarized. That just shows that we've got permission to administer any medical services to you while you're in the country. In 8 years, we have not had to use it, and we hope we never will have to use that, but it is very important. The adults have to fill this out, too, not just the children. When anybody that signs up and comes on a trip with us, whether they're a young person or adult, and obviously an adult does not have to get his mom and dad's permission, but the medical release and all the other paperwork that is in the manual, that is in the application, has to be filled out just the same because you are going under our care of Tash Ministries International, and we want to return you back the same way we brought you. We got you, so it's very important that we have the paperwork filled out completely and fully.
I've had some adults ask me that they've said, well, the form that's in there is really for children. And they want to know, is there a different one for the adults in our manual?
No, there is not. They fill out the same forms with the exception of the parental permission slip. You do not have to go get your mom and dad's permission to
okay.
go. But all the medical release, all the other information, all the release and identification, that has to be filled out the same way for adults as children.
Okay, moving on to the next page, travel insurance. When you're traveling outside of the United States, a lot of people do not realize this, but even though they have health insurance or major medical insurance, it does not cover you overseas. Which one of you gentlemen would like to address this issue and tell us a little bit more about what needs to be done in this case?
I'll take care of that, Becky.
Okay.
There's several things that we can do. You are releasing Tash Ministries International. We will not be responsible for any trip cancellation as far as when we get over there to the country. If you have any medical emergencies over there, we will contact the immediate people that need to be contacted, such as mom and dad or your guardian. But if you have to be extracted from the country and different things like that, there are medical insurance that you can get. You can get riders from your insurance company, or there's some companies that specifically cover trip-safe insurance. They will cover you for a 30-day or a two-week time period for a nominal fee. Usually that fee will be anywhere between, I've seen it as low as $18, as much as $76, depending on how much you want to cover for. I would recommend if your health insurance plan or your medical insurance plan does not cover outside the country and you can't get a rider, I would at least recommend getting something that will cover the bare minimums of a trip expense. However, that is not covered under the cost of the trip also. There are a few things that are over and above, such as your passport, your shots, and your travel insurance. Those are over and above and beyond.
Okay, and where would they, if they do get a rider from the health plan, how do they need to prove that to us so that we know they've done it?
If they get a rider, they'll have to send copies or the actual paperwork that has been signed by their insurance agent showing that they have coverage for that child or for you along with the necessary papers. When we collect up at the later tapes, when we're collecting the medical release forms, when we're collecting the guardian permission slip, you'll also mail that in at the same time.
Okay, great. Let's go to the next page, and then we're going to end this particular session, take just a short break. But we need to talk now about the plane tickets and itineraries. There are some times that Tash Ministries will purchase all the flight arrangements and the plane tickets for you. There's other times that you have to do it on your own. Which one of you gentlemen want to tell us who's going to do it, when it's going to happen?
Well, Becky, as far as plane tickets and itineraries go, what we're going to do is we will buy a plane ticket that will take you from point A to the mission field back to point B again, back here in the States. Now, some of you may live off in different parts of the country as you're listening to this. Wherever we determine point A is, let's say it's here in North Carolina, and we're going to be leaving from here. Most of the people are from this area are going to be leaving with us, and we're going to go from this here, point A, to wherever the mission field is, point B, and then fly back to this area. It's going to be your responsibility to provide transportation, whether you drive, you come by bus, you ride your bike, or you come by airfare, to get to this area, point A, where we are here in North Carolina, where we certainly are going to be flying out from. And so you may have to provide your own plane ticket and fly from wherever you are into Charlotte, North Carolina, where we will all meet. This is just one scenario, where we'll all meet at that airport, and then we'll all fly out together to the mission field and do our thing and come back. That doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it may be that part of us are going to leave here from North Carolina and we'll end up meeting in New York City, and then we're going to fly you directly from your home to New York City, and we'll all meet in that airport, and then from there, before we go overseas, we'll go over and come back again. And so these kind of things, I know it may not be clear at this moment, but it will be explained to you on each individual trip how these things are going to be taken care of, whether you're going to fly here and we'll all meet together in North Carolina, or we're all going to meet in an airport somewhere else in the country before we go overseas.
Okay, so it's a little bit complicated, but they will catch on as their particular trip is in motion. All right, that pretty well takes care of all the important papers that everyone needs to fill out before they can get started, and they need to get started. You need to get started on these papers right away. Passports, guardian slips, medical release forms, travel insurance, shots, whatever it is, get started right away. Okay, we're going to move on to the next section in our manual, but let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll start discussing finances, fundraising, and your study requirements.
Jesus, I am ready. You can send me. You can send me.
Okay, we're back in the studio again with Michael Watson, Missions Director for Tash Ministries International, Michael Ott, and myself, Becky Fisher, and we need to be talking about now finances and fundraising.
That's right, the green stuff, Becky.
The green stuff. Now that they have the manual in their hand, they need to be sending in some more money. Is that right, Michael?
Exactly. Now that you have the manual in your hand, we should have received a $35 application fee, which got you started. The next thing that we need, we've gone over the application. We're making sure your references, as soon as you are approved, you must mail in your next $100 non-refundable deposit. That is what will secure you a spot on our team. Until we get that, your spot is still not confirmed on the team. So that's the very first thing you need to go doing about that. The other finances that are coming in the future, we will be giving you some deadlines. The entire trip must be paid for 30 days before we leave to go, the entire amount, whether it's $399 or it's $2,495. And will need to be paid for 30 days prior to leaving. Also, we will have a deadline for when we're purchasing the tickets. No airline tickets will be purchased until you have got enough money in-house to at least cover your airline ticket. There's no sense me buying a ticket for somebody that's not going to be going on the trip or may not have all of their finances. So we will not buy those tickets unless you have enough to at least cover your airline ticket. That keeps you out of money and it keeps us from being out of money. Some of the other things that we'll be talking with you is your other forms of transportation. You may not be in the immediate area that the trip destination is leaving from. You may be driving by vehicle, you may be taking a bus, you may be going on an Amtrak train, or you may be flying from your destination to meet up with us. Those expenses are all on your own and extra. We will help you secure whatever travel arrangements you may need to get from your place to ours. If you need us to help you with some airfare, we have some great travel agents that work with us and get us some very low pricing. So we will be contacting you all about that. But finances is something that's very, very important.
Okay, Michael, let's talk a little bit more about the practical side. If these people are going to pay, the people that are listening to us right now, if they're going to pay for their trip with a check, they need to write the check to Tash Ministries International. Now, that is also tax deductible to them. Even though it's going for an airline ticket, just the mere fact that they're writing it to Tash is tax deductible. Is that correct?
That is correct, Becky. Everything that they write in is a tax deductible donation. That's for them or any of their supporters they may get, as we explain in just a little bit. Also, we will take MasterCard, Visa, and Discover right now. We have the ability to take those if a grandma and grandpa or if you want to put some of this on your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover, if you're earning miles or if you're earning bonus points, you can take advantage of that. That's also tax deductible if it's going on a Visa, Becky.
Okay,
MasterCard,
great.
Visa, or Discover.
All right, let's talk about some of the practical things now of how our young friends can start raising funds. There is a list of ideas in the manual, and we don't want to be redundant here, but why don't you, Michael Ott, just go through this and highlight some of the things and some of the more practical things that they can do to raise their money for this trip.
Yes, we do have a list within the manual here, a couple pages on what you can do to raise money. And I want to preface all this before we get into it with this. There has not been any boy or girl that did not go on a trip with us because they didn't have enough money. I'm going to say that again. There haven't been any boys and girls that haven't gone with us because of a lack of funds. You know what, boys and girls? God has given you faith. And God is expecting you to use that faith. And God will hear your prayers. He will answer you. As you are obedient to put godly principles into practice, as you're sowing seed, as you're writing letters, as you're working and earning your money, you will see God answer every need and desire you have in order to go on this trip. He will supply for you. Whether your trip is $399 or if it's $2,500, God will get you every penny. You see, where God guides you, He will provide for you. And so you need to put your trust and faith in God. And I also want to say this. You've got to know in your heart that God has called you to go. And don't let finances stop you.
Amen.
Don't let it have this wondering inside, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go. I didn't realize it was going to cost this much. And now there's all these additional expenses about getting to the destination point and shots and all these other things. No. If God has called you to go, then you believe God and He was going to provide all of this for you. Now, as you can see, we've got a list of ideas from car washes and flea markets, babysitting, bike-a-thons, walk-a-thons, bake sale. I mean, the list can go on and on of different and creative ideas you can do to raise money. In this section of the manual, it will show you how to write fundraiser letter, things that your letter should include, things that it should not include, and who you can send these things to in order to gain your support. We've had boys and girls walk through neighborhoods in one afternoon and sell candy bars. They just had that idea and went down to a local wholesaler, bought a bunch of candy bars and sold them for $1 a piece going door to door. And they simply said, my name is, and I'm going on a missions trip to such and such a place, and I'm wondering if you'd like to support me. And I'm selling these candy bars here for $1 or $1.50. They earned $60 in one afternoon and a couple hours works. I mean, we have testimony after testimony of boys and girls raising this money. It's amazing. God will give you favor. Mm.
Tell them about the little girl, Michael, that walked the neighbor's dog one afternoon.
Oh, well, we had this one young lady that she was joining us on a trip to South Africa. And she was either walking the dog or washing the dog. But whatever she was doing, she was taking care of their dog. And she got $100 for taking care of this dog. I think she was just giving the dog a bath or something like that. But because she made herself available, right, and said, hey, I'm going on a missions trip. I want to go. Would you support me? Anything I can do. I can wash your windows. I can vacuum out your car. I can rake leaves. I can mow a lawn. I can walk your dog or wash your dog. And people will give into that. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. People are moved when they see young people like yourself, yes, saying, hey, I'm answering the call of God. Yes. I want to go do something great for God. And you watch what happens. God will be faithful to supply.
That's right. I remember when we were going to Europe for the first time, we had to raise $30,000, and we did it in a month. And the boys and girls got their money before I did.
Oh, man.
The boys and girls will get their money before the adults will, because they have that faith. I mean, water plants, and here's $25. Those different things, God will give you creative ideas. That support letter that Pastor Michael talked about is very important, because you can write that. I know boys and girls who will take and say, Grandma and Grandpa, aunts and uncles, instead of sending me birthday money or a present or the latest Nintendo game, give me $30, $40 to go on the mission trip. And they'll have their mission trips paid up a year in advance. It's never too early to start fundraising.
That's right.
Whether this is your first trip or you're planning on more trips, you can start fundraising even if you're saying, well, my trip's already paid, start fundraising for the next trip. Be ready. Have money in your account for when God tells you to go, you can go.
Now, what's exciting about this is a lot of times these kids earn more than what they need for these missions trips. So what do? Give it back or what?
Well, what we'll do with that, Becky, is they can take that money, and being that it has been designated for a missions trip, a lot of times what they'll do is they can either keep that money themselves in an account at home, type thing, if it's the over and above, and that'll go towards their next trip. Of course, it's important to let those supporters, let them know that, if they're aware of how much your trip costs and things of that nature. Or they can even take it and donate it towards the whole trip, because, you see, we have other supplies that we need to purchase. We do tracks and little booklets, balloons and candy and ribbons and things that we decorate with, things that we hand out to the kids. Many times, you know, if we're going to Mexico, we have beans and rice and different things like this. And so that extra money can even go towards the trip to help supply and bless the people we're going to.
Or somebody who's struggling. Maybe there's somebody who has really been believing. They've studied all their scriptures. They've memorized it. And you got the extra 50, and they're $50 short. And you may be able to sow it into a teammate's life.
We had a very exciting experience. My very first trip to the Philippines, we got there, and there was a young couple that had come to the conference. We were training workers for children's ministry, and she was due to have a baby, and wouldn't you know it, she decided to have the baby during that conference. They rushed her to the hospital, but they didn't have the money to cover it. It was going to cost them a whopping $50, but because we went with extra money, we were able to pay for the delivery of that baby. Now, if we wouldn't have taken extra money along, we would have not been able to bless those people. So there's many needs when you get over there.
That's right. Amen.
That extra money will go for. Okay, that covers that. Now, one other thing I want to ask to make sure that everyone understands, the people who are giving to you, if they're writing checks, have them write it to
Tash Ministries International.
Because it is also tax deductible to those people.
That's right. As you talk to churches, as you talk to businesses, and you're going out raising your funds, God may put you across a path of somebody who owns a business or has a church. They can give you $100. I know people who've paid off entire trips. Well, how much do you need? Well, I'm only $400 short. Here you go, son. There's $400. And they can get a tax deduction for that. As long as they make those checks out to Tash Ministries International, either you have them send it in or you mail it in yourself to us, we will make sure everybody that supports you with a check or money order or MasterCard Visa Discover to Tash Ministries International will receive a tax-deductible donation. Now, if they write the check to you, and you're turning around and giving it to us, I cannot give them a tax deduction. They have to make the check out to Tash Ministries International. Either you mail it in for them, or they'll mail it in. It's better if they send it to you. You accumulate, keep your own record and tally of what's coming in, and then you mail us a packet with some checks in it about every once a week.
Praise God. Let's move on to the next section. It is called study requirements, and there are a lot of them. This is the part of the manual, and this is a part of the training that is going to equip you spiritually to go on this missions trip. It's going to involve daily Bible reading, prayer, worksheets that you've got to fill out with that Bible reading, and some memorization. Michael Watson, why are we doing this? Why are you asking these boys and girls to do all this study?
Because the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. You may say, I've already saved up all the money. You may say, I've already filled out all the paperwork, but you've got to study to show yourself approved. It's not just enough to say, I'm going on the mission trip to be going on a mission trip. We're going to be covering this in the very next tape. We'll be going over why you're actually on this mission trip. And you've got to study. You're getting ready to enter a 3-month boot camp. You're getting ready to study, and you've got to have your Bible reading and your prayer. You've got to be equipped. You've got to know how to use your weapons, and this is where it starts. You've got to get that Word of God inside of you, and that's going to come through your daily Bible reading. It's going to come through your praying with your prayer partners, and that's going to come through Scripture memorization.
Sometimes when we take these mission trips, we have what we call a missions boot camp, and it's because we are trying to prepare the boys and girls, spirit, soul, and body to go on these things. It's like soldiers in boot camp, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, Becky, you know, when you're on a war field, a soldier doesn't have time to figure out what he needs to do. See, that's why they go to boot camp. They go to boot camp to get prepared so that when they're on the field, they don't have time to think. They only have time to react to the orders that are given by their sergeant or by their leader. They don't have time to question or I wonder how this works or what happens if we don't. There is that. That could cost you precious time. That could cost you your life.
Yes.
And so even in the realm of the spirit, when we're going into the mission field, we don't have time to mess around. We're getting into areas where there have been strongholds of the enemy, and he don't like it. Well, we're not in there to just play games and patty cake and things of that nature. We're going to go in there. We're going to do some destruction to the enemy, and we're not going to let him stop us or trip us up. I'll tell you, I've seen so many trips where the kids they've got off, they're so ready, they hit the ground running. I mean, they've already dealt with things about fear and what if someone says no and rejection. You see, we've dealt with those things already, and so that when they're out there, it doesn't catch you by surprise. You already know what you need to do. I can think of one young man who was witnessing. We were out in the streets, and he was handing out information, and we're knocking on doors, letting people know of a crusade we were having that night, and this lady just flat out told him, no, I don't need your Jesus. You know, the Spirit of God came on him. He was 11 years old at that time. The boldness of God came on him, and if it wasn't for his training, this never would have taken place. He could have been taken aback. He could have been shocked, and what am I going to do? But because he was so well prepared, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the boldness of God rose up within him, and it was God. I mean, you wouldn't say this to everybody, but God came on him, and he just spoke, ma'am, if you do not come, you could end up in hell. You could end up in hell tonight. You have got to come. Well, that boldness that was on him, that anointing just jumped out of him onto this woman. It caught her by surprise rather than him getting surprised by her answer. And don't you know it? She came. She responded. That woman got saved.
Praise God.
She got saved, and she walked around with that boy under her shoulder saying, this is the young man that was bold enough to get in my face and say, I needed to come. I needed to hear it like that. Why did he do that? Why was he able to do that? Because he was well prepared. He didn't wonder. He didn't have to think. He knew how to hear the voice of God. He knew how to respond and what to do in that moment, that instant, that could have cost her soul. in hell. It really could have if he would have just not known what to do at that right moment. So it's very, very important, this training.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, let's move on and discuss what this training is all about. We have got devotional worksheets. If you will turn to the appropriate page in your manual, you will see that we have lined out for you certain books of the Bible that you are to read, and we have questionnaires that go with them. Now, you are to be studying this stuff daily, right, Michael?
That's right. You're going to want to do this daily. And if you're an individual doing this, you're going to want to have your parents check it on a weekly basis to make sure you're doing your reading assignment and answering the questions. If you're in a group meeting, as you meet together with the meetings, show your counselor, show your leader the workbook, and they'll make sure that you're answering these questions.
We have picked out certain books of the Bible on purpose. We've got the book of Acts, we've got the book of John, and we've got 1 John. Michael Ott, why did we pick those particular books?
Well, these books are going to fill your spirit with what you need. When we're talking about Acts, we're talking about the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of what the Holy Spirit did through them as they were being a bold witness for Jesus Christ. You know, as you read that, you're going to see yourself doing these very things. And some of you, you may have never even done some of these things that you're going to be reading about. But I want you to know something. As you are reading about Peter and Paul and James and different believers and Stephen and these others, insert your name. Insert your name, because you know what? This is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be laying hands on the sick, and you're going to see miraculous things take place. You're going to see them get healed. You're going to have boldness come on you, like in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It's going to be so bold, man, that it's going to shake people's lives and right into the kingdom of God. It's going to paint a picture for you. It's going to build you up in your inner man, that you're going to know how to walk, how to talk, and things of that nature. You know, in 1 John, it's talking about love. Love. You know, all this that we can do, we can say and minister, if we have not love, it means nothing. We've got to be filled with the love of God. We've got to have the compassion of Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus looked over the multitudes, many times the scripture says, he was overwhelmed with compassion. You know, we need to let that compassion overwhelm us. You're going to be walking into places, you're going to see things like kids. I can remember in Guatemala, kids drinking out of the water in the street. Well, that's bad enough, but then we found out it was sewer water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible, some of the conditions that these people, these children, have to live and suffer in. You'll be moved by compassion, and that compassion is going to move you to reach out and to touch and change their lives.
But you're also going to have to do some walking in love with one another, aren't you?
Oh, yes. You know what? I'll tell you what. There's nothing like being in another world, another country, where, you know, it's not like home. Maybe the water's not as clear as you're used to seeing. Maybe you're not used to someone else sleeping with someone else next to you. Or maybe they snore at night and you don't. Or maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things. You got to get used to working together with other people on the team. You've got to get used to their habits as well as your habits. And, you know, as they say, maybe they squeeze the toothpaste and you roll it the other way, you know? I mean, you got to get used to these little things. And
yes,
you're going to have to walk in love with one another. In fact, in here, there's a kind of a funny, comical way of the love chapter in Corinthians chapter 13. You're going to read that, and it's going to bring to light for you what we should be doing and walking in love as a team. Because, you know, the Word of God says they will know that we are Christians. Many people misquote it. They say they'll know we are Christians because of our love. Well, that's partially true, but it actually says they will know we are Christians for the love that we have for one another.
Yep.
Not just for the people of the world, but see, they're going to be watching how you get along with each other. And so as they see that you love each other as a team, each other in Christ Jesus, they're going to say, hey, what they've got is real because they live it. And so very, very important.
Amen. Well, that tells you why we're using the scriptures that we do. It is important to do those devotional worksheets. Let's move on to the part of memorization that we have to do. We've got a lot of scriptures. Earlier today, Michael, you mentioned there were 15 scriptures that we have to memorize.
Yeah,
there's actually 17 scriptures.
I see we added two more.
Yes. I think that is Luke 4. 18 and 19.
That's right, Becky. That's our main theme scripture. If we could wrap up what we're doing in missions, this is it. And what we want to have accomplished in every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that go on this trip. This is Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." There are 17 scripture verses, Becky, that we want them to memorize. That is your weapon. The word is a weapon, and we got to learn how to use that weapon. And getting those scriptures down inside of us, filling you up, then you'll be able to use those on the trip. Every scripture that we go over, whether it all has to do with going to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." All those scriptures will deal with what we're going to do and bring to life on the mission trip. That's why we want you to rehearse these scriptures with your meetings every time you meet. You won't have to memorize 5 a week. You'll need to basically memorize 5 to 6 scriptures between every meeting, between your first meeting, your second main meeting, and your third main meeting. So by the end of the trip leaves, you'll have all 17 of them down. And don't be surprised if we don't come up to you and ask you to quote one of them when we first meet you.
That's right. All right. And if they're meeting with mom and dad, of course, they're just to rehearse those things with mom and dad. Let's move on to the How to Witness hand. This is something that we've been using in Tash Ministries for a long time that will help you lead someone to Jesus. There's actions to go with this. It doesn't show that in the manual, but there's actually actions that go with this How to Witness hands that really make it make a lot more sense that will be meaningful. Okay, Michael Ott, would you please kind of explain to us how they're supposed to do this?
Yes. In your manual, it has a picture of the hand and the different meanings for your fingers as well as the scriptures. So what I need you to do, if you would, as you're listening to this tape, I want you to hold up your left hand. It's got to be your left hand, okay? So you do this the right way. What I want you to do is I want you to make a fist. As you make a fist, now take your thumb and put your thumb out towards you. Now, bring your hand back and forth towards you, and you're pointing at yourself right now, back and forth. This is saying, "I have sinned," Romans 3:23, "for all sin and come short of the glory of God." And so you're pointing to yourself saying, "I have sinned." Now with that thumb still pointing to you, I want you to stop and I want you to lift your pointer finger. Okay? Now as you take that out in front of you and you look at it, it forms the letter L, which reminds us that God loves us. See, the finger is pointing up. The pointer finger is pointing up towards God. And then your thumb is pointing towards you. So if you start at the top of your pointer finger and draw the L, you start with God, and that love comes down towards you. God loves you. John 3:16. So first, I have sinned, Romans 3:23. The pointer finger is John 3:16, for God loves me. All right? And then we're going to move on to what I want you to do. Now, tuck that thumb back in, because we're telling this like a story. I want you to lift your three fingers, the pointer finger, I want you to lift the middle finger and your ring finger. So you have three fingers up now. These three fingers represent the three crosses that were on Mount Calvary. Now, boys and girls, which cross did Jesus die on those three crosses? Right. He died on the middle cross. Jesus died on the middle cross. And that's where we have 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All right, now we understand the three crosses and that Jesus died on the middle cross. Moving to the ring finger, okay? If you remember in this story on the cross in the Gospels, it talks about that he died between two thieves, right? So Jesus died on the middle one. The ring finger represents the one thief. If you remember, he turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." You see, that ring finger represents that man who was saved by grace. Here we have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So, reviewing from the thumb, I have sinned. The pointer finger, God loves me. The middle finger, Jesus died for me. And that ring finger, where that represents the thief who accepted Jesus, means you've received Jesus. I receive Jesus, okay? Now, after that thief received Jesus, what did he get? He has everlasting life. That represents your pinky, all right? You now have everlasting life. Now, if you will, commit that to memory with those scriptures, with the phrases, I have sinned, God loves me, Jesus died for me, I received Jesus, and now I have everlasting life. You will have an object lesson on the end of your arm wherever you go. You'll never forget it. You won't have to bring a manual. You'll not have to bring a book. But by looking at your hand and going through those motions, you can remember how to lead someone yes. to the Lord, yes. those very five simple steps.
That's excellent.
That may also even be in different languages.
Oh.
When we go into like a Spanish countries, you may find that hand in the very next page in Spanish. So you may need to learn that in Spanish or at least have it available in Spanish to you.
Which leads us right on to the next subject on the next page, which is language studies. There are times that we'll go overseas that we're going to English-speaking countries. In fact, in the Philippines, a lot of people don't realize this, but the national language is English. But there are many countries that we go into that do not speak English, and we need to study at least certain key phrases or key words to help us in some basic situations. If we're going to go to a country like that, Michael Watson, what can they expect to see in their manual?
There'll be additional sheets in the manual, under language study. And for instance, when we go into Mexico, which is one of the countries we predominantly will hit, and is a very easy language, especially here in the United States, a lot of people speak Spanish, and there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people. We will have an additional 30 Spanish phrases that you must memorize, such as hello, which is
hola.
Hola. Goodbye, which is?
Adios.
Very good. It's like things like good morning.
Buenos dias.
We will have 30 Spanish phrases that will help you get along. It'll even go into, yo quiero aceptar a Jesucristo en su corazón. Do you want to accept Jesus in your heart in Spanish? I'll say that a little slower. And if you speak Spanish and I butcher it, I'm sorry. Yo quiero aceptar a Jesucristo en su corazón. Do you want to accept Jesus in your heart? So you will learn 30 Spanish phrases. You will also have about 15 or 20 Spanish songs, where we've taken songs like If You're Happy and You Know It, This Is the Day, Este es el día, que suel señor.
Okay, that's enough.
That's enough. I don't like my singing. We will learn those in Spanish, and when we go down there, we will do an entire service with the singing, do as much as the witnessing as we can. The only time we need that interpreter is for our actual messages. So you will learn the different languages.
And not for them to be too nervous, Michael, is that you said the word interpreter. We do have interpreters, and as we go into other countries, most of the language that you will learn will be for the Latin American countries. We might have some for some others, and do not be concerned that if we're going somewhere like Poland, and you're going, oh my, am I going to have to learn Polish? Most of that will probably be done through our interpreters, and you'll be taken care of and be able to communicate. So.
That's right. A way also that we will assist you is if you are going to a foreign language country, we will supply you a tape. And on that tape, we will have all the Spanish phrases in English and in Spanish, all the songs in Spanish at several different speeds so you can learn the songs. And we have Pastor Michael and Pastor Shirley's and others' voices on those tapes, so you will not have to learn it cold turkey.
All right. So if there's nothing in their manual concerning that, they don't have to worry about learning a new language.
Exactly.
All right. The last section that we're going to cover right now is the country biography. In every single country or Indian reservation that we go to, we don't want to go in there being totally ignorant of the people and the places that we're going. That just puts egg on our face. That makes us look real ignorant. And so what we have done in each manual, whatever country that you're going on, there is a section in your manual that tells you a little bit about the history of the country. It will tell you about some things about the culture, some things about the religion. It will tell you about the way people live. There are different things like that. And that is for the reason that we do not want to go over there and be totally caught off guard of what they believe. And it's important for us to understand religious beliefs. People do not think like Americans do in other parts of the world. I know that's a great shock to a lot of people. And when we have politicians that go for for our countries, for our country over into other countries. They have to study because even inflections in voices in different cultures mean different things.
Yeah.
And so it's very important that we understand the cultures, that we understand the religion, we understand the way they live, the poverty.
Okay,
I remember not very long ago going on a trip, and it was to one of the Indian reservations, and one of our kids spoke out and said something, well, why don't they just go clean those places up? We don't understand. There's all kinds of years, centuries of history of the way people think that caused them to live the way that they do. And it's just not as easy. We think different than much of the rest of the world. So there is some sections we want you to study. We want you to take it very seriously, and we would encourage you to go to the library and even study more than what we have in your manual so that you're very well versed even on the politics or the government of the way they do things so that you understand. Watch the news.
Yeah.
Be very attentive to what's going on in the nightly news. You just may see your country on that. Find out as much as you can.
You may even, if you have a computer, get on the internet.
There you go.
World Wide Web, and you can find out information of not only the country, but it may even have the city.
Yes.
And you can find out information and facts and sites and some things there, right there, off your own computer in your own home about where we're going.
Oh, that'll be excellent. In fact, I did that for South Africa not long ago and got some of the most awesome pictures of some of the animals and some of the beaches and mountains and all of that. So it's very interesting and informative on there. Now, there is a question and answer section that also goes with the cultural section, the cultural biography of or the country biography, and we do expect you to fill that out. Correct?
Is that a quiz or is that a questionnaire?
It'll be a quiz. So okay. Word to the wise is sufficient.
Uh-huh.
You will be quizzed on your reading assignment, and make sure that you know your stuff.
Okay. Guys, their heads have to be spinning by now.
Yeah, mine's spinning.
No, mine is.
That we have given a lot of information out today, and I think we ought to call her quits for right now. We're going to have some other meeting tapes later on. This is going to help you boys and girls get started for your trip. Michael Ott, would you please close in a word of prayer over what
I'd
this information we've just studied?
Let's just take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for all that we have heard. And I just ask for the Holy Spirit to bring all things to our remembrance.
Yes,
and Lord, I thank you that we're all at peace. Yes, we're about to enter boot camp. But God, fear has no place.
Right.
This sense of maybe overwhelming, money and finances and shots and tickets and memorization, I know it can be overwhelming, but Father, this is all going to take place over 3 or 4 months or whatever the training period is. And Father, we thank you that it will all come together in your timing. And Father, I thank you that everyone that is listening to this tape, I speak to you and I say you are well able. For it is no longer that you that lives, but it is Christ that lives within you.
Hallelujah.
It is not going to be by your might, nor is it going to be by your power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God within you. So relax, trust, and rely on the Spirit of God, because what you're about to enter and what you're about to perform can only be done in the realm of the Spirit of God. It's not going to be you, but it's going to be the Spirit of God within you. And so relax, receive His peace now, and know that you are well able to do all that God has set before you. You have answered the call, and now God is equipping you and making you ready, and you are going to be amazed at what you're going to see God do through your mouth and through your hand. And we give God all the glory for what you're going to do in the lives of the people that we're going to minister to, and even in the lives of those that are on this trip. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I am ready. You can send me. You can send me. Bursting forth to the nations. It's time to take a stand. Bursting forth to the nations. We're taking back the land. Bursting